Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined remotely by 2008 NBA champion Kendrick Perkins and 2008 NBA champion and Finals MVP, The Truth, Paul Pierce. It's Celtics Appreciation Day here on ESPN. Later, we're going to break down that pivotal Game 4 comeback in 2008, one of my favorite games to cover. Also coming up on our Jump Around segment, Paul is a Patriots fan. Kendrick, I know you're not, but we have to be in solidarity with Paul because two of his favorite players, Brady and Gronk, are heading down to Tampa Bay. Will Paul remain loyal to Pat's Nation, or will he jump ship and become a Bucks fan? America is going to find out. First, though, I want to talk, guys, about the New York Knicks. In the midst of this shutdown, they are trying to rebuild their front office under new president Leon Rose. Reports surfaced yesterday the team is close to lifting the Cavaliers capologist, Brock Aller, who SNY's Ian Begley reports will become one of Rose's right-hand men and chief strategist. Begley also reporting that members of the Knicks organization feel, quote, they are incredibly well-positioned to trade for a disgruntled superstar if one becomes available. Which, I mean, hey, it's a strategy. We've seen high-profile players like Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Anthony Davis. They've all requested trades in the last few seasons. Paul, I guess the real question is, do you think there are any stars out there disgruntled enough to request a trade to the Knicks?
I'm not sure if there's a star out there, but I think the biggest question is, you know, you can build up so many assets, draft picks, and cap room. The thing is, if the Knicks have that ability to trade for a superstar, if they do, will the superstar stay? Because we've seen on a number of occasions, you know, Porzingis left. You traded for Carmelo Anthony back in the day, but we've seen a number of stars that just didn't want to play for the New York Knicks organization. And I think a lot of that has a lot to do with ownership. And so it doesn't matter what your assets or what you're capable of doing. It's about either you're doing it and can keep the star. And, you know, I just don't see that right now with the way the Knicks ownership is set up. You know, guys around the league talk, and they've been talking for years about the Knicks organization. That's why they've been unable to land a star in free agent or via trade.
For starters, why are the Knicks trying to land a disgruntled star? Like, when are they going to learn from this? Like, no, that's not the answer. Commit to the draft, commit to player development, and commit to developing a culture. And then what if they do land a disgruntled star? What are they accomplishing? Nothing. Because at the end of the day, they're still going to lose. And then all of a sudden, like Paul was saying, the star is going to want out. So at the end of the day, you're going to be back to square one, back to where you started from. No, go about things the right way. Quit trying to take the easy way out. How about just, you know, no shortcuts. Let's build a culture. Let's commit to player development, and let's keep going. Because at the rate that they're going, I don't care who they hire. If you bring in people with this mindset, Jesus Christ can't save this organization.
All right, maybe not Jesus Christ, but Kendrick, what if I threw the name Joel Embiid out at you? He has ties to Leon Rose. We don't know what's going to happen in Philadelphia. Certainly this shutdown has changed things, but the thinking going into the playoffs when we thought things were running on a normal schedule was that if Philadelphia didn't do well this postseason, that one of those guys, Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, might want out. If Joel Embiid landed with the New York Knicks, would that change your mind on whether that's a good idea that the Knicks should pursue?
I mean, if you get a chance to get Joel Embiid, you got to go for it. But I don't think he's going anywhere, Rachel. I mean, that's the big Philly. I think Joel Embiid is going to, you know, he's probably going to retire 76er. I don't see Elton Brand trading either one of those guys. If something was to shake up in that 76er organization, I think it would be the coaching staff and Brett Brown. But if I'm the 76ers, there's no way in hell I'm giving up Joel Embiid. No way.
That That's a very good point. I do think the coaching staff is the one under the microscope right now. All right, guys. Anthony Davis has listed his SoCal home for sale for a cool $7.9 million.
Ooh.
The house is in Westlake Village and has a full indoor court and, yes, two water slides, people. So if you're bored during quarantine and have extra cash sitting around, you know who to call, AD. Now, I know a lot of Lakers fans saw this story, freaked out. It might be a sign that AD is leaving when he becomes a free agent this summer. I need everyone to calm down. AD also rents a house closer to the Lakers facility. That's the one he's been living in. Take your temperature down. But Paul, it does raise an interesting question. What percentage chance do you think AD does resign with LA? Are you going with anything less than 100%?
Not at all, because if you know the landscape of Los Angeles, Westlake Village is so far out the way from the practice facility, from the arena, I would have sold my house right away, because to commute to practice every day is an hour and a half drive. To commute to the game is an hour and a half drive. So why would I have a home when I'm going to be sitting in traffic half of the day just to get to work? So I see why he wants to move. And that's for people who understand the land in L.A. I mean, it's much better for him to move in closer to the city, closer to the practice facility. I would take no stock in this move right now. Now, if it was like if he lived close to the facility and he didn't like his living situation, want to upgrade, but I don't see in no chance of him leaving the Los Angeles Lakers in this situation. Even if LeBron retires, I feel like he's going to be a Laker the rest of his life.
Oh, I'm with you on that, P. I'm 100% with you. All I want to know is that I got to hit AD up and see if he'll drop the price about $6 million and see if he'll sell it to me for about a million. Because I've been thinking about moving to L.A. anyway, but there's no way.
Two water slides.
Ooh, my kids would love that. But at the end of the day, I don't think AD is going anywhere. If I'm him, I'm not. I mean, listen, you're in Los Angeles. You're playing for the Lakers. He's going to make so much money on and off the court like he already has. And then at the end of the day, Bron has already passed the torch to him. He's set up for success. And like I said, Bron is on the tail end of his career. Who knows? Maybe the Lakers could land a Bradley Beal with AD. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got another star playing with you. But if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying
nowhere.
All right. Two guys voting for 100%. I got it. Coming up, as we preview the upcoming episodes of The Last Dance, we will discuss how Dennis Rodman would have fared in the social media era. Boy, just imagine. We're going to play a little game of what if. On that note, though, to get you ready, here's a little sneak peek of episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance, which debuts Sunday. Get ready for some Rodman.
I'll play you something from mine.
While Scotty was out, Dennis was a model citizen.
To a point where it was driving him insane. So, when Scotty came back,
Dennis wanted to take a vacation.
I come to practice, Phil calls me and says,
look, you know, Dennis wants to tell you something.
And when Dennis wants to tell me something, I know it's not something that I want to hear.
So,
Dennis says, I need a vacation. And I look at Phil and say, Phil, what do you mean, vacation? He says, he needs a vacation. He needs some time off to let loose.
I say, look, Phil, let me tell you something, man. I'm not.
Like, if anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation. We look at Dennis and say, Dennis, what are you going to do?
He says, well, I need to go to Vegas.
Phil, you let this dude go to vacation, we're not going to see him. You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him. So he looks at Dennis and says, Dennis, well, can your vacation be like 48 hours? And Dennis is like,
I got no other choice. I take whatever you can give me. I take the 48 hours.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Let's get right to it. The Chicago Bulls have won their second three-peat. This is the kind of stuff that ESPN will eventually make a documentary about. They'll call it something like The Last Dance and make it a 10-part series and release it in the year 2020. It's going to be lit. You don't even know what that means yet. While I'm making predictions, jeans will get extra tight. There'll be a thing called a butt fumble. And this clip will be used to promote the documentary in a State Farm commercial. It's just a hunch.
Shout out Kenny and Linda there. Welcome back. We are all so eager for Sunday to come around so we can see the next two episodes of The Last Dance. Mm. And Paul, your Kansas Jayhawks teammate, Nick Bradford, posted a photo of your team with Michael Jordan during that Last Dance season. Mm. Amazing picture. Is that the first time you met Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. That was my first time meeting Mike. I became a fan. I remember I was there because I was in my junior year and, you know, after that year, I was planning on going to the NBA. And I was like looking at Mike, kind of sizing him up, like, cause I knew it was like a matchup with him the next year. So I was like, okay, I got a nice size. You know, we about the same height. I'm a little taller than him. And I'm like, all right, dang, I can't believe I got Mike in here. This dude right here, I have three posters on my wall when I was in high school of Mike. Mm. And he's standing right here. I had a chance to shake his hand, watch him play in a preseason game. And, you know, a guy who one of the greatest, if not the greatest, just to be able to have that moment with him. I remember I looked and I was like, okay, I'm a little bit taller than Mike now. You know, I can match up with him. You know, I'm saying
amazing.
That stuff to my head because I know I never would have had to send it to him as a college kid, you know, standing right there. But that was an awesome moment to be able to sit there and take a picture with him. That was a team picture. I actually have a solo picture with him also that I might put it on Instagram for a little throwback Thursday or something.
Absolutely. What about you, Perk?
Hey, P, you lucky you were sizing them up in your head and not saying nothing out and not speaking
yep.
out loud.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say nothing to Mike.
Yeah, I know, because y'all probably would have had to play a 101 right then, but you probably would have killed your confidence, Truth. But, you know, I was so mad because right before I came into the league and got drafted to the Celtics, Mike had just retired. So I was so mad that I just didn't get a chance to even be on the same court or share the court with Mike and play against him. But the first time I met Michael Jordan, Truth, you remember this, P, we were in Charlotte and we had just beat the Bobcats and I was at my locker, you know, and I'm just getting out the shower, putting on my clothes, getting ready to, you know, head to the bus. And I just hear this voice talking to you, Ray, and KG, and y'all just having this good time, but my back was turned. And I was like, that voice just like rung a bell to me. It was like that 90s R&B music. You know how that 90s R&B come up that door and you get the vibe in a little bit. And I'm like, hold on, man. This voice sound familiar. I turned around, it's Mike. So he over there talking with y'all and he came in our locker room. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember. He came in our locker room a lot.
Right. So I turned around. And I get up, I'm like, hold on, I got to go pay homage. I got to go shake his hand. Let me go introduce myself, Rachel. So I get up out the seat. I walk up to him. I'm like, hey, what's going on, MJ? Man, I'm Kendrick Perkins. He's like, boy, I know who you is with your country stuff.
Oh, wow.
Man. He's like, your grandmother must have put some red, your parents must have put some red pepper under you, boy, because you never smile and you got this little instinct. This little instinct about you, and I was just like, oh, okay. I didn't know what to say. I was just like, basically, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was my first time meeting MJ, though.
That's amazing. I first met Michael Jordan when I was going to college in Chicago. I was in journalism school at Northwestern, and I would make extra money by stringing for newspapers. If a newspaper wanted a story in Chicago and they didn't want to pay to send someone, they would pay me like $20. And I would go down to the Berto Center in suburban Chicago, go to practice, and just stand there as, frankly, a 19-year-old girl way out of my element, you know, with my little tape recorder in this clump of people interviewing Michael Jordan. I was terrified to ask him a question back then until maybe the fourth or fifth time I was there and he called me out on it and said, are you a mute? Do you not speak? What's going on?
Oh, wow.
Took a deep breath.
Wow.
Asked him a question, and he paused for maybe 30 seconds, guys, before he answered my question. And some of the veteran reporters in the room would later, kind of when we went back to the press room, tell me he was deciding kind of in that moment, is this someone I'm going to give a hard time to or not? But he didn't. He answered the question, and I think from then on, because he sort of regularly talked to me, the other players were like, okay, we can talk to her too. It made a big difference earlier in my career. It was a lot of fun later when I worked in D.C. and he played for the Wizards as well. So right. those 30 seconds might have been the longest 30 seconds of my life. All right, I want to turn our attention to MJ's teammate, Dennis Rodman, who will be featured in episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance on Sunday. I want to share with y'all a clip from The Jump back in September when Rodman and Scottie Pippen were on the show together. This was amazing. Take a look. Oh, how hard was MJ on you? But you guys were all hard on each other in different ways. And you tested them with how much that they would accept, right?
Oh, yeah. I tested them, but I don't think they realized that I was doing those certain things off the court as much as I was. But
Did you not realize it?
You know what? We did realize that Dennis was living two different lives.
Yes. But
we also understood that... You know, he was so professional out on the basketball court. I mean, we knew Dennis stayed out to 5 a.m. Someone would tell us, like, Dennis just got back in from Vegas, but...
Madonna was on TV talking about having sex with him. Yeah, so you realized it.
Madonna, Carmen Electra.
It's just a whole big circus, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, he brought a lot of... social media right to our face.
It's quick.
He was viral before social media.
Yes,
that's right.
He was definitely before his time.
Oh, yes. Dennis viral before there was social media. One of the storylines in this Sunday's episodes is when Dennis left the team midseason to blow off steam in Vegas. Luckily for him, guys, it was the 90s. No one had camera phones. But it did get us thinking about playing a little what if. So, Perk, what if Dennis Rodman had played in the social media era?
Ooh, first of all, he would have dominated. So he would have owned social media. Like, I think he would have had the most followers on Instagram and Twitter. He would have been the most interesting man in sports. Because, you know, Dennis Rodman, the worm, even back then, people were like, oh, Dennis Rodman talking, or he's on camera. Let me tune in, because let me see what he have to say, or let me see what he's going to do. But let's talk about Dennis Rodman on the court in this era. He would have dominated. In my opinion, I think he would have easily won 3 or 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards. He would have fit well. He would have fit great in these new NBA, far as he would have moved from the power forward to the center position. And I could just imagine him being on this year's Boston Celtics team. You're talking about, that would have been nasty. The worm, the most versatile defender we've ever seen, P. He's one of the most versatile defenders we've seen.
He's up there. But let me tell you something. One can really argue that Dennis Rodman was probably more popular than Michael Jordan. Oh. I mean, he carried an aura. You know, Michael carried this aura wherever he went. It was crowds. But so does Dennis Rodman, because if you remember his book signing where he married himself, put on a wedding dress, he had hundreds of thousands of people waiting for him to do a book signing, Perk. Let me tell you, like you said, whenever Dennis spoke, whenever he did something, it was worldwide news. And you can argue that he was probably the most or the closest thing to Jordan during that era as far as popularity rise in the sports world around the world.
Hey, Rachel, P, all I got to say is this. If putting on a wedding dress would get you 100,000 people to come in for a book signing, I might need to go get fitted for one right now, I tell you that.
Perk, I just want you to do it on live television. That's all. That's all I ask of you. You can catch a new episode of Detail this Sunday. That's on ESPN Plus. He's going to break down his 27 rebound performance against the Mavs during the Last Dance season. And coming up, Paul and Kendrick are going to tell us what they were thinking when Kobe and the Lakers jumped out to a 24-point lead in Game 4 of the 2008 Finals. Those are replaying tonight on ESPN, so stick around for the inside story.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
The NBA is all in to stop the spread of the coronavirus.
Nobody's alone. We're all fighting this together.
Having the coronavirus, this is near and dear to myself, and being able to find ways to help others.
I'm happy to be a part of this all-in team right here.
What's up, everybody?
I'm all in.
All in.
What are we going to do for the win? First thing, we're going to sign you to an official NBA contract.
Call and donate with me, 3-on-3. For 6 people, I'll be on the team.
With one of the picks in the 2021 NBA Draft, the NBA will select you.
Challenging all my fellow NBA players.
So make sure you guys go out there and find a way to help.
Everybody go visit allinchallenge.com. Let's do it, man.
Tonight on ESPN, we continue our weekly look back at some of the most significant games in NBA Finals history. No surprise, Celtics-Lakers Game 4 2008 is one of them. That's 7 Eastern. Then it's the Anything Is Possible Game 6. And since we're on the subject, guys, we figured we'd play a quick round of what were you thinking for both of you. So starting with Mr. Paul Pierce, what were you thinking when your team fell behind by 24 points in the first half on the road against the Lakers in that first 7 p.m. Eastern game ESPN is showing tonight?
You know what, Rachel, when you play for one of the most stubborn teams, the most stubborn coaches, and also one of the most stubborn defenses of all time, we didn't sweat once. We always felt like we can come back. No lead was safe around our defense because we had the best defensive player in the game, arguably one of the best defensive players of all time in Kevin Garnett, Perkins, Rondo. We had one of the greatest defenses. We always felt like we was going to give ourselves a chance, and Doc kept that confidence in us, and we just continued to break the lead down. Once it got to 2 at the end of third, we knew we was going to win this game.
Hey, see, Rachel, and that's what you call a true vet. Paul was a veteran. See, I was a young boy. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, we got to get ready for game 5. I'm thinking about how much I'm going to be on film the next morning because I was messing up on so many rotations. And all of a sudden, Doc come in halftime and he give this great speech, and Doc did something that was great. He made an adjustment in the lineup and went small. He moved KG to the 5, James Posey to the 4, Paul to the 3, Ray to the 2, Eddie House to the 1, and we just walked them down like we coming around that last thing
down
in the track meet.
In the track, walked them down.
I'm going to do a whole segment one day with the two of you on Doc's halftime speeches. They are legendary. I cannot wait to watch this tonight. All right, guys, we know that Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are headed to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Paul, you have been a Patriots fan for the entire time.
Yeah.
The Tom was there. Are you giving up on your team?
You know what I always said? I'll be with the Patriots until Tom Brady retires or leaves. So, yes, I'm moving back to Inglewood where my roots are, and I'm rolling with the Rams who are moving to the Inglewood Stadium. I'm a Rams fan now, you guys.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's Inglewood. You're from Inglewood. They're going to play in Inglewood. That makes sense. I'm going to give that to you, Paul. I'm not saying you're jumping off the bandwagon. You're just going back home.
Sorry, Pat.
Thanks, guys. The jump is off the next 2 days. See you Monday.